few verses of Scripture, and I think if it's very familiar to you, it's a precious passage of Scripture. It's a comfort, it's an encouragement, and it tells us something important about our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to be born as a human, to grow up as a human, to live as we do, and yet to provide something for us that we could never provide for ourselves. Lord, we thank you for all that you tell us about your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Scriptures. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see those things this morning, to appreciate them. We pray that you'd speak to us, minister to our hearts this morning. Help us to know your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said, this is a precious passage of Scripture to me. We see that Jesus, in verse 35, is busy. He's going to cities and villages where the people live, where they are. He's going to them. He's meeting their needs. He's teaching them. They have things that they need to know. They have things they need to learn. He is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They need to hear from the Lord. They need to hear God's message. He's healing every sickness and every disease. People have problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, and Jesus is going to meet those needs. And I'm thankful that he is still the same God today. We have things that we need to learn. We have a message from God that we need to hear, and he is still doing those things. We have diseases and sicknesses. There are folks that among us that we know right now have had sicknesses. They've been in the hospital. They've had injuries. They've had surgeries recently. Of course, we've all had those things at some point in our life, but going on right now, we can think of these folks. I'm thankful that the Lord cares about those things. I'm thankful that he's still working to meet our needs. In verse 36, we see something else about the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that he saw the multitudes. He saw what they're going through. He looks at them. You can't see something you don't look at. And it's one thing, if you ever noticed, it's one thing to have an image pass before your eyes. It's another thing to really see it. We've all had things like that where it happened in front of us, but we didn't notice it. We didn't really observe it. We didn't see it. But when something happens and we look and we observe and we see, there's a difference. I'm thankful that the Lord sees. He's not preoccupied. He's not distracted like we can be sometimes. He sees. He's watching. He notices. And he doesn't just see one or two people here and there. He sees the multitudes. We're in a world that's filled with close to 7 billion people. And I think projections in the next, I don't know, a couple decades, if I remember right, it's supposed to get up to 8 and 9 billion. It's just growing. So many people. And of course, how many billions of people have ever, you know, lived in human history? I don't know for sure. But there are multitudes of people. And the Lord doesn't just see a couple of people, the lucky ones. He sees the multitude. He sees everyone. He sees you. He sees me. I'm thankful for that. And he doesn't just see us. He is moved with compassion. I think it's easy for us to feel sympathy. We can see a headline or hear the news and we hear a tragedy. You probably heard about that, the shooting recently in Maine. I haven't read a lot of details about it, but a lot of people died. Very sad. And I read that, and I don't know any of these folks. I can feel sympathy, but it's hard for me to feel it to the depth that those people who know those victims are feeling it. But the Lord sees. The Lord is moved with compassion. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He knows exactly what we are going through. So many times we try to bottle it up, and we're going through a tough time, and we don't want to display that it's tough. We want to show that we're strong. We don't want people to know that we're feeling weak. And there might be a time and place for that, but sometimes it can just be because we don't want to admit it, and we struggle alone. I'm thankful that even in those times, the Lord knows. He knows what we're going through. In this passage, what does he know? He saw the multitudes in verse 36. He was moved with compassion on them. Why? Well, because they fainted. What were they fainting under? Well, all kinds of normal human problems. Sicknesses, disease, maybe financial problems, injuries, maybe a lack of knowledge in some things, relationship issues, disasters of many kinds, maybe just the effects of sin in their life. They fainted. This word faint means to become senseless and motionless. I don't think I've ever fainted, you know, black out and fall over. I don't think that's ever happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you. It certainly means that. But I don't think that this word here only means a physical fainting. There's a spiritual sense to it. Of course, scattered abroad. They're multitudes. They're not aimlessly wandering around as though they don't know where they should be. Jesus is seeing a spiritual condition here. And this fainting means to become feeble, to decline or fail in strength and vigor, to be weak. And even further, to sink into dejection, to lose courage or spirit. I was recently listening to an audiobook about the Civil War, and it was a horrible time of great carnage and battle. And of course, there have been many such wars, but as in just about any war, but especially in one like this, where the combat is so close, and you can see the enemy, and you can see people around you, and so much destruction happening around people, the soldiers at times would lose their courage. They would faint in a figurative sense. And they would say, I don't have the strength anymore. They would drop their weapons and they would run. They couldn't keep on. And we understand that that's how an enemy is defeated, how an army is defeated, when the soldiers faint. At least in their mind, in a figurative sense. They sink into dejection. They lose courage or spirit. No more spirit to face the struggle. No more courage to face the battle. Jesus saw this in these multitudes. They fainted. And there was obviously not a war going on. These were people battling the normal things of human life. And they fainted in the face of these things. He saw it, and he was affected. He was moved with compassion. And they were also scattered abroad. These burdens of life caused them to be cast down or to be dispersed. Not only does fainting is kind of us just relaxing and giving up. Scattering abroad is the sense of us being overpowered. We're not trying to be scattered, but there's such a force that we're opposing that it forces us into these positions. You think of a hurricane or something of that sort. Maybe a ship on the water or the struck, maybe a number of ships. They're scattered. They're forced away by the great power that they are facing. These people fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And he said something to his disciples here. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. This is a spiritual harvest. These people, spiritually, they need help. They are souls that need to come to Christ. There are many of them, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus sees the struggles people go through. He sees needs, he sees difficulties, and he desires to help. Now, Jesus could just snap his fingers and meet our physical needs. He's that powerful. But of course, when it comes to a spiritual need, such as salvation, he has given us the ability to exercise our will. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose the truth. He teaches us. He makes it available to us. I'm so thankful. Unlike past centuries where the Bible was unavailable, no one could buy it. Maybe it was illegal to own it. We can have a Bible. We can purchase many of them. We can sit down and open it. There are apps. We can read the Bible any time of the day or night, anytime we choose. Jesus, the Lord, is making his truth available to us to meet our needs. But he also requires us to choose him on our own, to choose to come to him, to choose to seek him, to give place to him, to let him have his way in our life. He's desiring to meet these needs, and he's desiring to use people to meet these needs. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This passage of scripture tells us some important things about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he sees, he knows, and he's moved with compassion. This is not our text, but I wanted to start here. Turn over to Matthew 11, just a couple pages over. Jesus sees our needs. He sees the multitudes. He sees the struggles that we're having, that we have through life. You know, we only need to go back just a couple of years, and we see how the world was turned upside down. And since then, the war, there are wars going on, and so much uncertainty in world relations, national relations around the world, and world politics, and there's threats, and there's talk of another world war, and maybe nuclear war, and you know, how will that affect the economy? And if the economy is affected, how is that going to affect our ability to survive? And with inflation, how can we afford? And all of these things, they worry us. They can cause us to fret. They can be problems that you and I can't overcome on our own. We're not greater than these things. We can't just solve these things on our own. People are in a lot of turmoil, understandably. And I'm thankful that the Lord sees this. Whether it's a physical earth type of turmoil, things going on, or whether it's an inner turmoil. Maybe you have seen problems in your life as a result of sin, whether maybe your own or the sin of those around you. Maybe you have had physical health issues. Maybe you have dealt with a number of different spiritual or mental, emotional issues. And in all of these, the Lord sees, he knows. I've preached not too long ago on Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, but I believe that the Lord would encourage us again today from these verses. Let's read them, verses 28 through 30 in Matthew 11. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a lot of wonderful truth here, a lot of promise, a lot of blessing. And I'd like to kind of go slowly through this passage. And my desire is that the Lord would minister to us through his word. First of all, we see in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me." Of course, this is an invitation. An invitation is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Maybe you receive an invitation to a gathering of some sort, a birthday party, a special event, And when you, especially when you receive, now we've probably all gotten these bulk mailing invitations where everybody gets one, your neighbors got one, and everybody in town got one, and it's a little less personal, but at least you know that they want you to come. But when you get a handwritten or addressed, personalized invitation, it really does make you feel wanted, doesn't it? Makes you feel special, makes you feel valuable in some ways. And Jesus is inviting us. Now, we might say, well, he says all ye, so it's just kind of a general, but that's not what Jesus is. That's not the kind of God that he is. Again, he sees. He knows exactly what we're going through. And he is inclusive, inviting all. But this invitation is specific. It's not just the crowds and whoever comes. He's inviting us individually. He knows exactly who we are. Come unto me. It is an invitation. It's a welcoming invitation. It's a loving and caring invitation. If he didn't desire to meet our needs, he wouldn't invite us. But he does. He cares. He plans to minister to us. Come unto me. I also see there's some ownership in this. Come unto me. I've got a solution. I have something I want to do for you. I'm going to take the responsibility, so to speak, for what you're dealing with. I'm not just going to send you something. I hope that's enough. You know, be warmed and filled kind of an idea. I tried. No, it's come to me. Let me take this burden. Let me take this responsibility. Let me tackle this problem. Let me solve it for you. There's ownership here. I'll take this upon myself. He says, come unto me, all ye. All ye, everyone. We know what all means. But the word ye, as you'll know, it's a specific word. It's a personal pronoun. Every one of you, if I were to say all ye, I'm including everybody, but I'm speaking to you as individuals, not just part of a crowd, individually. The Lord wants every single individual to come to him. That's a blessing. I'm thankful for that. He cares about every individual. And he says all, meaning you don't have to do anything first. If you're part of all, you fit the description. You fit the bill. Just come. No prerequisites needed. Everyone is eligible. Everyone is welcome. Have we come to him? Maybe we have. Maybe we would say, well, that's what I'm doing being in church today. Maybe we would say, I tried to come to him in my life a few years ago. I haven't really done it recently. He's still inviting. He's still welcoming us. You might say, well, I did yesterday. But with the pressures of life, the difficulties of life, every day, every hour even, come unto me. All ye, there is a description here, he says, that labor and are heavy laden. Sadly, when things are easy for us, we don't feel the need to come to Christ. We've got it. We've got everything under control. We're ready to pursue our own things. We don't think about the Lord. The verse in Proverbs, I didn't write this reference down, but the writer is saying, give me just enough for my daily needs. Don't give me too much because then I'll forget God. And I don't want too little because then I'll be tempted to be angry with God and curse God for not providing for me. Both of these extremes, I struggle with doing the wrong thing. Give me just enough. And it's true that when we feel like we don't have any burdens, everything's great, everything's easy, we tend to not come to Christ. We tend to just want to do our own thing. The Lord is good to allow us to see the labor and the burdens that are part of life. And I think that as we begin to learn more and more about sin, more and more about the world around us, the harvest that is plenteous out there, we'll be burdened about these things. And we will come to him. We will stay close to him. But But he's inviting all those that need something from him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. This word labor means working hard, sweating, getting tired. You ever felt that way? I think so. Heavy laden means carrying heavy burdens. We can be physically idle and feel very burdened, feel very depressed, very down, very discouraged. We're carrying heavy burdens, mental burdens that don't affect they don't involve physical work, but they're weighing on us every minute of every day. They keep you up at night. When you wake up, they instantly fill your mind. These burdens labor and are heavy laden. The Lord says, if you're like that, I want you to come to me. I've got something I want to do for you. I want to help you. He says, I will give you rest. If you've ever worked hard out in the midday sun, you know how quickly the body can become tired. And it feels good to rest in the shade of a tree, maybe with a cold ice water, something to drink. Feels good to rest. Feels good to get a break from that labor. If you've ever, I think about basic training, and the military often will train their soldiers by giving them a heavy backpack, and they carry this heavy gear, and they just walk for miles. And maybe the walk wouldn't be terribly difficult all by itself, but when you're carrying that burden, it really becomes difficult. And that is true of our daily life as well. Maybe the things that we do are not overly difficult in and of themselves, but when you add the burden on top of it, suddenly the least little thing can just be too much for us, because this burden that we're carrying, we're heavy laden, and we just want rest. That's why fainting can happen, because it just seems too much to go on, and we just want to let go and just collapse. That's why people might quit, because it's just too much. Jesus wants to give rest. In those moments of that hard work, that heavy burden, rest just sounds like perfection, like utopia. I want that rest. How do I get this rest? How can I have relief from this toil, relief from this burden? What can I do? Jesus says, come unto me. I have something I want to give you. You're busy trying to deal with your labor and your heavy burden. And I've got something I want to give you instead. I have a trade I want to make with you. I want to take that burden, take that labor. I want to give you rest instead. I want to replace it with something. We know that he can handle our burden. He can handle our labor. He's God. It's not a problem for him. I think of my children, and there are times when something is really hard for them, and especially if it's my 2-year-old, the thing that's hard for him is not at all hard for me in any way. And if I am maybe unthinking or uncaring in that moment, I can almost be impatient with that thing that's so easy for me. The Lord is not like that. It's not hard for God, but he knows what we're going through, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the Bible says. And so he's not impatient with that. He knows that we're going through it. He knows that it's hard. And if I'm caring about my child, I should be moved at his distress. Not because I think the problem is a big one, but because it's a big one to him. He thinks it's big. It's hard for him. And the Lord knows exactly what is hard for us. He wants to give us rest. He wants to trade with us. This is a promise. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You can just bank on it. You can count on it. This will happen. He'll come through for us. And I'm thankful that he doesn't have a waiting list. If you're waiting in line in the waiting room at the doctor's office, doctor can only see one patient at a time. You got to wait your turn. And if time runs out today, business hours are finished, you might need to come back tomorrow. You wait in line, and you're glad because you know that eventually, but you do have to wait. The Lord doesn't have a waiting list. The Lord doesn't have a line. All of us can come to him and receive rest. You don't have to wait for me to get my rest before you can get yours. I don't have to wait for you. We can just come. He can do it for all. Every single one. Come unto me. The invitation is always there. I will give you rest. This is a statement of intent, demonstrating what his will is. Sometimes we pray for things and we're not really sure if it'll actually happen, because we know that if we pray for something that is not right, God's not going to do something that is not right. If we pray for something and we think it's a good request, but God sees that it's not a good request, it would bring harm, he's not going to do something like that. And so we don't know if what we're praying for will actually take place sometimes. But this is something that we can be confident about. This is something that we can know that he wants to do. He says that he wants to do. Lord, I'm coming to you. I need rest. Will you give me rest? I'm coming to you because there's no rest anywhere else. I'm burdened. I'm toiling. Only you can give me rest. But I know it's your will for you to do that. You've told me that. And we don't have to earn this rest. He says, I will give it to you. You don't have to impress me first. You don't have to say all the right things and do all the right things just so and meet all the requirements and jump through all the hoops. You don't have to earn it. It's a gift. If we had to earn it, we never would get it, because we're sinners. We sin and we do things. I think we don't even comprehend how often our actions are mixed with the flesh. And the sanctification process gradually unfolds. The Lord reveals those things to us. But even in our most sanctified state, compared to the Lord, we are still just sinners, saved by grace. So if we really had to earn something and meet God's standards, we wouldn't ever get any rest. Jesus wants to give it to us. It's a gift. We need to come to him. We won't find that rest anywhere else, but it's a gift for us. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. And you might say, well, I'm already laboring. I'm already heavy laden. A yoke, you know, that's this wood and metal collar, basically, that two oxen would be in, two beasts of burden to pull a plow or pull a wagon, something of that sort. They're working. This is more toil. I'm supposed to bring my heavy burden and my toil to you, and you'll give me a yoke? How is this rest? What kind of trade is this? Well, obviously, the Lord isn't saying that I've got something really grievous for you. Bring me your grief, and I'll give you a different grief. He's not saying that. This is purpose. He'll take our toil and our burdens and replace them with purpose. I'm struck by so many times in the scriptures, the servants of God are just, they're weeping, they're toiling, they're struggling, and they come to God and they say, God, what's going on? How? I don't understand. I'm in trouble. And he comforts them. He speaks words of truth to them. And then he says, I have something for you to do. I've got a purpose for you. I've got some direction for you. Go do this. It gets our mind off our troubles. We can wallow in this heavy burden. All we can think about is the burden. All we can think about is how hard we're working. And it's like our world shrinks in. And all we can think about is this just right around us, this struggle we're in, this burden, this toil. And when the Lord gives us purpose, sort of helps us come above the clouds and the sun breaks through and we're going somewhere. We're doing something. Jesus has a purpose for us. He'll take our burdens and replace them with purpose. He says, take my yoke upon you. This purpose that he's given us is not just purpose on our own. We're alone. We're a free agent, so to speak. It's partnership with him. It's his purpose right alongside. And that's the best kind. Of course, he says, I will give you rest, even in his yoke, even in his purpose. Working together with him, there is rest to be found because he does all the heavy lifting. He just wants us along with him. We won't be alone. We'll be with him in his purposes, with him doing the heavy lifting. That's a great, great situation to be in. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. This rest that we come to him to receive, this burden, these burdens, this toil that we come to him to give up, to relinquish, all of this process includes a relationship. Learn of me. If you have a close friend, that relationship involves learning about them. It's possible to meet somebody at work or maybe somebody at the store or a neighbor, and you don't really have a deep relationship. You're friendly, pleasant, and those are great. It's nice to be pleasant with people. It's nice to have a friendly interaction with people, and even regularly, and you know their name. But the deeper you get into a relationship, the more you learn about them. You learn their desires. You learn their struggles. You learn things about them, truths, their background, and so on, what they're doing with their life, the struggles they're going through. And Jesus says, I want you to learn about me. He's God. He already knows about us. He sees us. He knows what we're going through. I've learned about you, but I want this to be a two-way relationship. I want you to learn of me. I've got something for you. I'm offering this to you. And in our natural state, we don't understand why the Lord would want to do that. We don't understand what this really means. He wants us to learn of him so that we will understand, so that we will come to him. And the more that we learn of him, the more readily we will come to him. The more we'll trust him. The more we'll realize, you know, I have been missing out. I've been so self-reliant. Thinking I can get myself through this, thinking I can handle all of this. But I realize I'm toiling, I'm under a heavy burden. I need help, I need rest. And the more I come to Christ, the more I learn about him. And I say, why did I ever think I could do this on my own? Why did I ever think I didn't need to come to Christ? This is a relationship that he wants to have with us. This is not just, you know, we can feel sorry for those in need. We can feel sympathy and empathy and want to help them. But giving to a charitable cause is different from going down to that place where those people are and sitting down with them and learning of them and beginning a relationship and helping them. We can help people without having a relationship with them. And the Lord could have done that, but he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. This is not just about relieving our burden. It's about, more importantly, it's about a relationship. And the more that we learn of him, the more that this relationship becomes more and more personal and intimate. If you're married, you have an intimate relationship with your spouse. And you met that person, you were not close. They were a stranger. And then there was some attraction and you began spending more time and that relationship became closer and closer until you got married and hopefully it becomes even closer after that. And my wife and I have been married almost 11 years and I know her better than I ever have and I want to know her more. I want the relationship to become more close, more intimate, and the Lord wants that with us. He wants us to know him more and more. Learn of me. I want you to know me. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We'll learn of him in that yoke. That's where we learn about him. Why does he want us to learn of him? Well, he says, one of the reasons here, for I am meek and lowly in heart. This isn't just some, you know, billionaire who's stooping to help somebody in the gutter just because he feels sorry for that person. Jesus is meek and lowly. He is condescending to our level because he loves us, because he genuinely cares for us, and he wants us to learn of him. He wants us to take on his characteristics. His meekness, his lowliness in heart is what makes him so inviting and so gentle and harmless. He's proven his meekness. He's proven his lowliness by coming down to earth. What an amazing thing that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only begotten Son of God, sitting on his throne, laid aside his garments and came to be born in a human body. Laid all of that aside, lowered himself, made himself meek, of no reputation, the Bible says. He is meek and lowly in heart. He wants us to learn of him. And when we do, it will make us meek and lowly in heart. I think sometimes, well, the Bible says, pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I think one reason why we become so burdened, why we toil so hard, is because we tend to think that we can handle it. I can do this. I have the strength for this. And we struggle and we're frustrated because we start to realize that we can't do it. And we think we should be able to. When the Lord just wants us to come to him. Just bring the burdens to him. Be meek and lowly in heart so that we'll just come to him immediately. When we come to him and we learn of him, it makes us meek and lowly in heart, and that helps us help others. The Lord wants to make us in his image because he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. The Lord could preach to us all. You know, he could put a message in the sky. He could speak to our mind. He could, with an audible voice, speak in our ears. He doesn't need to use a human preacher to do this. He could figure out another way, but he desires to use people to help people. He desires to change people and to change you and me and to use us to reach others and to change them so that they can reach others. This is what he desires to do. And so the more that we learn of him, the more that we become like him, the more that God will use us to help others who are laboring and are heavy laden. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. We can be meek and lowly on the outside, but when our heart changes, then our life changes. Jesus wants to change us in our heart, which will change our life. He says, if you do this, he says, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Soul rest. Rest in the soul is true rest. It is deep rest. You can have a hard day of work and sleep it off, you know, get some physical rest and you feel better. But if you're carrying a heavy burden, physical rest is only a small part of the problem. You can sleep well and still wake up feeling tired. You need that rest in your soul. On the other hand, when you have rest in your soul, physical weariness is just a small obstacle many times. Jesus wants to give us rest in our souls. We try to distract ourselves when we do not have rest in our souls. We go, maybe you turn on the TV, maybe you open your favorite newspaper or a book or some sort of entertainment. We try to distract ourselves. We try to divert our minds away from this thing that's burdening us and that feels like it works sometimes. Some people turn to drugs and alcohol. It feels like that works for a while, but it's really just a diversion. It's really just avoiding the problem. And when we come out of that distraction, the problem is still there. We didn't have real rest. We just distracted ourselves. But when we get rest in our souls, the burden is lifted. The burden is held by someone else, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, ye shall find rest. Earlier he says, I will give you rest. This is my intent. This is my will. I will give it to you. But when you come to me and you take my yoke upon you and you are meek and lowly of heart, you learn of me, ye shall find rest. That is a guarantee. There's no other result that can happen. When we come to Christ, we shall find rest. He says, ye shall find rest. Again, every individual, all people individually, ye. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the issues that you're dealing with. I don't know your heart. I don't know how it's affecting you, but the Lord does. And the Lord wants to give us rest. There's only so much that other humans can do for us. And I'm thankful for things that they can. I'm thankful for fellowship. I'm thankful for hugs. I'm thankful for words of comfort. I'm thankful for assistance that other people can give. Thankful to pray together. I'm thankful for other people praying for me. But there are some things that only the Lord can do for me. And he wants to. He wants to do it for you. Every one of us can find rest. We shall find rest when we come unto him. He says, ye shall find. This rest isn't just coming to us and overtaking us and tackling us whether we want it or not. We do need to search for it. But it will be found. It can be found. It's not going to be elusive. It's not going to run from us and be impossible to find. Ye shall find rest. We need rest. And he says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This purpose, this occupation that he has for us is easy. This word easy, we usually use it today to mean simple, not hard to complete. It is easy. Anyone can do it. It's easy to do. But the word easy, if you think about ease, is rest, repose. My yoke is easy. It is quiet, being at rest. It is free from pain, disturbance, or annoyance. What a thought. The yoke, the purpose that Christ has for it is work. There is something that needs to be done. There is something to accomplish, but it's an easy yoke. It's not the one that we've been toiling and under a heavy burden and stumbling and feeling like we're going to be crushed, feeling like we just need to let go and faint, feeling like we need to run and just give up. It's easy. It's quiet. He has a purpose for us. But that purpose is easy because we're with him. We're working with him. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This word light, of course, means not burdensome. It's not oppressive. It's a great thing. It's a joyful thing. It's a restful thing to toil with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in his yoke with him. And he's inviting anyone, everyone. He sees what we're going through. He knows it. And he wants us to learn of him. He wants us to learn his lowliness, to learn his meekness, for that to reach our heart. He wants us to have his rest. And how can he do this for us? This is not just, you know, a feel-good type of thing. This is not just the power of positive thinking. There's something very specific and very tangible that Christ has done that makes all of this possible. How can this be possible for us? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we read the scriptures, we see that we're all sinners. We've all offended God. We've all broken God's commands. We're all lawbreakers. We're all criminals against God's holy law. And as such, we deserve punishment. God can't just excuse sin and act like it never happened. He wouldn't be a just God. He has to punish sin. And so as sinners, we deserve that punishment. And that's what reading the scriptures will reveal to us. So how can we come to Christ and have this rest? You look at what the Bible says, and all evil things in this world are a result of sin. So when we're toiling, we're under these burdens, we're being afflicted by things, that is ultimately a result of sin, the effect and the presence of sin in this world. So how can we have this rest? Well, we can have it because Christ came to pay that penalty. Christ came to give life. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." This invitation from Christ is the whole purpose for which he came. He came to offer this to us, to invite us. Christ came into the world and he gave everything for us. He came with a physical life and he laid that down for us. He came with holiness. He's never sinned. He is holy, but he took on him our sin. And in that payment, the Bible says, became sin for us, as though he had been the one who has committed all the sins of mankind. He took that on him so that we might come to him and find rest. This is how we can come to him and have that rest, because he paid the penalty for sin. Turn to 1 John 4, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 4. I think it's self-evident that Christ would not have come if he did not love sinners. God would not have sent his only begotten Son if he did not love sinners. There are some of you who have one son in this room, and a lot of people over the centuries, one son. Imagine giving up that son for people who have committed crimes against you. I'm thankful for the two sons that I have, and I can't imagine giving up one of them for criminals who have committed crimes against me. It's hard to understand, and certainly without experiencing the love of Christ, I never would be willing to do such a thing. I never could fathom such a love. God is holy. God has never done anything wrong, and we have sinned. We are sinners, and we sin against God, and before you were saved, and many sinners today, they shake their fist in God's face. And yet God would send his only begotten Son to die for us. What love. What love for sinners. We deal with a lot of insecurities in our life, don't we? We worry and we fret and we're wounded and we're afraid and we struggle. And a lot of it comes down to this idea of, does God really care about me? If he loves me, why is this happening? If he loves me, why can't I find him? It seems like he's gone. It seems like he's not there. He's silent. Does he really love me? But he does love us, because he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. And he's calling us to come to him. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die, of course, so that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the payment, the substitute payment for our sins." That's why he sent his Son. It's easy for us to say that we care about somebody, that we love somebody, but we prove it with our actions. It's nice to know, oh yeah, God loves me. The Bible says so, but God proved it in the greatest way possible. He sent his only begotten Son to take on our sin and pay for it. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." To prefer another person to remain living, to prefer that they live instead of me, is the greatest demonstration of love there is. No greater love than that. And Christ did that for us. Prefer your life above mine. That's what he did. John 10, verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The hireling, the shepherd who is not a true shepherd, not a good shepherd, he runs. If it's his life or the sheep's lives, he runs. He preserves his own life, but Christ laid down his life for us. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is the love that he has for us. And we know these things. We understand these things. We've heard these things many times. God does love you. God does love me. But he's calling us to come to him and give him our burdens because he loves us. He's got rest for us. He says in 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. I have had many times in my life where, as I meditate on the love of God and how it was demonstrated and what it means in my life, and specifically what it means in my life that day, it's like I'm in a room and I understand, I see the surroundings in that room, I see the furnishings and I'm used to it, and then I go to a door and I open a door and walk into a bigger room, a better room, a more impressive room. And I feel like the more I know the Lord and learn of him, the more his love continually impresses me and shows me a deeper meaning, a more beautiful picture. And it's the same love, it's the same truth that I've known for so long. But the more I learn of him, the more it ministers to my soul, the more it amazes me that he would love me. When we meditate on his love, it will amaze us more and more. It doesn't become an old, familiar thing. Yeah, that's boring. I learned that a long time ago. It's a love. It's a truth that continues to grow on us and impress us and bless us and minister to us, give us rest when we labor and are heavy laden. Christ is calling us to him. He understands our burdens. He made himself weak on our behalf. He understands our labor. I think about when Jesus was tempted of the devil. He fasted for 40 days and then the devil came to tempt him. And after the devil was done tempting him and Jesus had not sinned, it says the angels came and ministered unto him. In those moments, Jesus in his humanity was weak. He made himself weak. He understands what the weakness is all about. I think about his prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was betrayed and crucified. And the Bible says an angel came and ministered unto him, strengthened him. He allowed himself to be weak. Not in his deity. God is never weak. God, Almighty God is unchanging. But Jesus in his humanity knows what weakness is like. He understands that. He understands your weakness and mine. He understands our labor and our heavy burdens. He came and died for us so that we could come to him and join his yoke and find rest to our souls. And I would ask you, have you come to Christ in salvation? Do you know him personally? Is this a relationship with the Lord? Many religions in our world make it into a transaction, sort of like a business transaction, and you do these things and the Lord does something for you. He gives you a home in heaven. You do these right things the right way at the right time, and then he gives you salvation. He gives you pardon from your sins. But Christ is saying, I want a relationship with you. That's what salvation means. You need to trust that I will save you. You need to turn from your sins and not keep them, not collect them, not hold on to them. I want to deliver you from your sin. I want to take that sin out of your life. I want to give you victory over it. You have to change your mind about that sin. You have to hate that sin because you know that God hates that sin. Faith and repentance. But when we come to him in salvation, we begin a relationship with him that every day we can come to him and give him our burdens. Every day we can have rest. He desires to give you rest in your soul. Have you been saved? If you haven't, the Lord is calling you to that. He wants that for you. That is his desire. And if you come to him the way he's calling, you come to him in faith and repentance, He shall give you rest. If you're saved today, do you come to him for this rest? Life presses in on us. Life is constantly changing, and new challenges and new struggles. And we have these burdens. We have this labor. We have this sorrow. We have these things that make us want to faint. And Christ is still calling us, still there for us. He still loves us. He still wants to bear these burdens. Do we come to him? He wants to trade with you. He wants us to learn about him and find rest in our souls. He wants to give us purpose and make us like himself. In his yoke, we will find ease. His burden is not grievous and heavy, not like the one we're carrying. His burden is light. May we draw near to Christ with our burdens. What is your burden today? Is it a burden of sin? Is it a burden of condemnation? May you come to Christ today with that burden. He'll trade with you. Is it a burden of struggles in the Christian life? Normal human things? The Lord knows all about it. Come to him with those burdens. He's inviting you. And he will give you rest. May we find rest in Christ. Let's pray. Father,